pray for your power and your presence, Lord, to change us, to transform our hearts and our minds here today, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. For you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us today, Lord. We're here, Lord, to lift you up and to magnify you in this place. Let's worship the Lord together.
Praise the Lord. Well, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me.
Weakness you find. Wonderful, that God is more wonderful than we can ever describe, that we can ever think, and when we get into His Word just opens up to us, and He's just wonderful, and it's hard to explain just how Jesus is. Sister Day is going to sing this is somewhat of a special, but you get to sing along with us. Sister Day is going to sing the verses to this song, and it's an older one. He's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything He promised, and so much more.
Yes.
More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus means to me. So when we get to the chorus, I'm sure you'll recognize it by the time we get there. And sing along with us.
Promise. amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous, could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus means to me. I stand amazed when I think the King of Glory could come to live within the heart of man. I marvel just to know He really loves me.
Yes.
When I think of who He is and who I am. For He is more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful.
Before the end of today, I would go seek immediate medical help. If we could all stand at this time.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
My heart has been so affected this morning. I usually have a routine that I go through preparing for Sunday morning Sunday school. And it's kind of like a mechanical thing. And this morning was different. About 8:20 this morning, my heart just was ripped wide open. I believe God wants to speak and touch every heart in this place here today.
Yes.
There is no doubt that He is here to minister. When our hearts are open, He's able to speak in ways He's not normally able to speak. But today, He wants to speak to His people in His house.
Yes.
Today in a special way. He intended for you to come here today and leave never the same again. I'm going to need the help of the Lord for the next few minutes. I'm going to need the help from my brothers and sisters here in this place. We just take a moment and, Lord, ask for your help. Lord, we need you, Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
never be anything ordinary about coming here. Maybe there's a ritual that takes place. Forgive me. I'm going to be a, I don't know. You might have to grab a few before the end of the service too. Other people, other churches may have a routine, a way of doing things, programs or this or that. But you know what? I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be in the flow of God. Let the Lord move in this place. Whatever he wants to do, let him do it. Whatever time frame that he wants to do it in, let him do it in that time frame. If he wants to move and pour out his spirit in the Sunday school portion of the service, let him have his way.
Yes.
Why should we hold back and wait for God to do something amazing in the next hour? Why, God is able to do something right now, this hour. I'm going to get right into the text. We're going to talk about Jonah this morning. But I promise you, and many of you have been raised in church, whether it's this church or a different denomination, and I promise you, you've never heard Jonah talked about this way in your life. So I'm going to read the text this morning. It's in Matthew 12:41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Amen. Jonah 2:9-10 says, but I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and vomited out Jonah upon dry land. He was praising God. He was worshiping God in a belly of a whale with seaweed and that tied around his head and that for 3 days. And he was worshiping God. Mm-hmm. And God heard him and delivered
right.
him. Jonah 3:1-10 says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey to get through from one side to the other. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. For the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and ashes himself. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of their evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. You could be seated at this time. It's a national runaway safe line designed by the federal government that found that over 1.5 million youth each year run away from their homes. And in some cases, it's up to 2.5 million people, kids a year that do this. Many of these youth face problems at homes, and they experience abuse and neglect. Some are classified as throwaways, but because their parents did not want them, and others were told to leave home, and some parents just simply did not stop their kids when their intent was to leave their house. The streets are even more unforgiving. The cycle of abuse is often taken to the extreme levels as victims face sexual exploitation and drug abuse. They face a downward spiral that leaves them from homeless to hopeless. Individuals who run away from God experience the same problems. They refuse to answer the call of God in their life, and the Lord's commands leads them down dark paths also. They seek refuge in drugs and alcohol and improper relationships, and yet the Lord continues calling to them. Thankfully, the Lord doesn't look at any of us as throwaways. What Shannon said last week, and I don't take nothing for granted, because everything is from heaven and from God, whether he plants it into your spirit and causes you to say it. But she said this, and I'll never forget it. You're not that powerful to mess up God's plans for your life. And Jonah is a perfect example of that. Jonah was a prophet. He was an 8th century prophet along with Hosea and Amos. His ministry is associated with the northern kingdom of Israel. During this time, Isaiah and Micah served the southern kingdom of Israel, of Judah. In fact, Jonah was mentioned in the book, not only in Jonah, but in 2 Kings, where he tells of the fulfillment of the prophecy that lands would be restored into Jeroboam. The tomb of Jonah, this is interesting history. The tomb of Jonah was located in the Iraqi city of Mosul near the site of the ancient Nineveh. Before the Islamic State destroyed it in 2014, although Jonah is depicted in it as a great Islamic art, the Islamic State believed that the Mosque of Jonah was leading people into idolatry. The Jewish tradition identifies Jonah as a boy that Elijah brought back to life in 1 Kings 17. The Jewish people read the entire book of Jonah every year on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. He foreshadowed Jesus by being in the depths of the earth, by being swallowed by a fish for 3 days and three nights. But he also foreshadowed Paul's call to preach to the Gentiles. Jonah had to recognize the urgency at the time in which God called him. He was given two commandments, get up and go. That showed God's desire for him to stop what he was doing and move quickly and act properly to go and deliver my message to these people in Nineveh. Time was an issue. Jonah was to go to Nineveh. God stated that their wickedness has come up before me. Nineveh was a city of violence known for its treatment of those that it conquered. They were known for amputating hands and feet, gouging out eyes, and skinning and impaling people on poles. Another reason for God's anger on Nineveh was for its extreme pride. In a reluctant obedience in Jonah 1 and 3, rather than responding to God's call to preaching to the Ninevites, Jonah set himself up to be a target of God's wrath. Instead of rising and going to Nineveh, he arose and fled to Joppa. The next text, he shows the downward spiral by creating Jonah's disobedience. He went down to Joppa, boarded a ship, and went down in it. And after that, he tried to flee the presence of God. But he fled from Joppa, then he went to a boat, and then he went to the belly of a whale. It was a downward spiral, all from being disobedient to what God had commanded him to do. He recognized, but God was a gracious and merciful God, and slow to anger. Jonah's disobedience had resulted from his own personal hatred from the people of Nineveh. Jonah did not defy God because he was afraid of the Ninevites. He hated them. He rebelled because he was afraid of a merciful God would spare them. Jonah didn't want to give the Ninevites even one chance to repent. That's human nature, and that's not God's nature. If anybody's done you wrong and you don't want to see them come back to the house of God for any particular reason, that is human nature, and that's the nature that Jonah had. That's what caused him to refuse to go out and get up and go and be obedient to God. So if you have that inside your heart, and God knows the intent of your heart, and you can't hide nothing from him, but if you have a desire and you have hatred towards anybody, enough hatred to say, I'm not going to invite that person to the house of God. I'm not going to witness to that person because that person done me wrong, or that person did something to somebody that I care about. Lord, I need to repent of that because there is something much greater than God has in store on the other side of that wrong hearts and minds attitude that I may be carrying. And who knows, we may be carrying it for a long time, and sometimes we got to ask God to examine ourselves. Lord, what am I carrying? Lord, examine me. Oh, my heart's an open book before you. You know everything anyways. But we need to be real with ourselves and real with God and say, Lord, is there anything that I'm harboring? Is there any unforgiveness that I'm harboring? Is there anything, any wickedness in me? Examine me. Open my heart. Because when we allow our heart to be open to God, that's when he's able to do some things. But when it is hard, you know what? He destroys the people with hard hearts. But he can affect and he can spare somebody with a broken heart. Jonah's heart was hard when he got the command, but his heart became broken when he spent a few days in the belly of the whale. The message was to include that the city's destruction that Jonah craved, but it was also to feature a call to repentance that Jonah felt the Ninevites didn't deserve. He warned the people the city would be overthrown and utterly transformed, that it would be completely different, it would be buried in the ashes of destruction. And repentance was the only way for this city to be spared. The people could not be sure what would happen if they chose to repent. In Jonah 3:9, it says, "Who can tell if the Lord will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not?" Perhaps, maybe, who knows? Those are some of the questions that the people in the Old Testament had. Maybe if I do this, if I pray in my fast. David said, "What if? What if God will spare my son and Bathsheba's son? I'm going to pray and fast before the Lord for 7 days and seven nights." Jonathan also, this was a good one. David's friend Jonathan received a positive answer from the Lord when he and his armor bearer fought against the Philistines. Before the battle, Jonathan said, "It may be that the Lord will work for us." That is hope. And the source of hope and all our hope only comes from God. When we are hoping for something, David had hope, and that hope came from God. And it transcended him, and it gave him the ability to fast for 7 days and seven nights for a child. It gave Jonathan the ability to take on many people. He was out, him and his armor bearer were outnumbered, but it gave him that hope in God gave him the ability to conquer his enemies. Against Jonah's true wishes, the great city took on a mantle of humility, and everyone repented, from the least to the greatest. Instead of waiting for God to turn their city into ashes, even the king himself took off his royal robe and robed himself in sackcloth and sat in ashes. The question whether God would forgive Nineveh was finally answered when the Lord saw the people had truly changed their ways recognizing that they had turned away from evil. The Lord turned away from his plan to destroy that town. What could change the heart of God when he decides to do something? A repentant heart, an open, sincere heart before God. Godly sorrow and godly repentance, that will get God's attention every time. He may have a made-up mind to do something, but when he notices when somebody repents. He notices when somebody not just repents in body, but repents in heart and mind. When there is enough sorrow to say, "I will never do this again. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I lost my appetite from the sinful nature that I've taken on and held on for all these years. And I don't want to do it no more. I don't want to live this way anymore. I can't handle it anymore. I'm not going to do this another day. But I'm going to repent with my heart and my mind made up, and I will never be the same again." And God says, "You know what? Because you are determined to turn your life around, I'm going to determine to turn my wrath away from you." He's a merciful and loving and a patient God, and he is indescribable. But he is a God of judgment and a God of wrath also. So we got to keep that in balance too. He is our closest friend, but we need to reverence him because he is God Almighty. So we need to keep that in balance too. I serve a God. He is a great and mighty God that deserves to be feared in this place every time we walk in. And I'll be honest with you, and I've had to ask forgiveness for people because zeal has consumed me at times in the house of the Lord. But he deserves the honor that is due to him. This is a sacred place. This is a place where lives are changed. This is a place where people are baptized in the name of Jesus. This is a place where people are filled with the Holy Ghost. I got to treat this place different. This is not like any other place. When I go here, I got to act different. I got to look different. My demeanor is different because I'm going to encounter people that are never going to be the same again after they walk into this place. This is incredible. This is incredible what's going to happen, what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do. He's going to pour this his spirit. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be so massive. It's going to cause you to weep for joy, all those prophetic things that you've heard over the years that you gave up on, that you've laughed at and say that'll never happen. But you never verbally said it, but you felt it in your heart and your mind. God's going to do it. He's going to pour it out. It's going to happen. He brought us together for a reason, for a purpose and a plan. It is no accident that we are here. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God almost. I want to have to skip through this. Time is of the essence right now. Matthew 12:40 says, For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. In the mission of salvation, Gabriel himself, the one that stood for the presence of God, calling it clear before his birth, telling Joseph that Jesus would save his people from their sins. It took great love and compassion for Jesus to continue to minister to people who criticized him, who attempted to stone him, and to crucify him. Being called to a hostile people, not everyone wanted to hear his preaching. John 1:11 states, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But the love of God shone through all the hate. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's more than a verse that's painted on somebody's tennis shoe on a football field or placed on somebody's eyelid in a football game. But we need to have that heart of compassion to say, God, you so love the world that you gave your only Son. You died. You came in flesh. You tore your flesh apart for us, that we could be healed, that we could be saved, that we could be delivered. The Lord had tried to teach Jonah the lesson that he should care for others in spite of their backgrounds, not to judge a soul. It seemed that a revival was on the other side of Jonah's attitude. God prepared a plant to provide him with shade, but the next day God prepared a worm to feed the plant. It withered, leaving Jonah to bake in the hot sun. This was a test, believe it or not. As Jonah was grieving over the loss of the plant, God asked him, why are you grieving over the plant and not over the lost people in Nineveh? I'm all for caring about plants and animals, clean water, but if I'm defined by that, I'm not defined by a lover for souls. I have totally missed it. Luke 15:7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I want my will to be lined up with your will, Lord. I don't have time to worry about my insecurities and inadequacies. I don't have time to worry about my terms or conditions, because heaven is waiting to rejoice. If I take care of God's business, God will take care of my business. In our flesh, we might want to see that person who did us wrong or who has done wrong to somebody else that we care about, see them get what they deserve. But what if revival was on the other side of that thought? Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in this place, Lord, in my heart, in my mind. It's not just a prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not just a repetitious prayer that should mean nothing to us. But whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. I want heaven loosed on earth. I want heaven loosed in my life. I want heaven loosed in my heart and my mind. I want heaven loosed in this service. I want heaven loosed every time we get together. Heaven should be loosed. It should not be a routine here. It may be a routine across town. It may be a routine two blocks away, but it should never be a routine. Lord, let heaven be loosed in this place. Let heaven be loosed in this place. Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done, Lord. Miraculous healing, signs, wonders, deliverance, salvation, everything comes when heaven is loosed on earth. Regarding the parable of the lost son, the brother who never left was angry and wouldn't celebrate his brother's safe return. He didn't believe his brother deserved the ring, the robe, the party, the warm welcome from his father. He was with his father his whole life and lived in his father's house. He was faithful, but he never understood the heart of the father. May we desire to have the heart of the Father, because heaven is waiting to rejoice. If heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents, what about a whole city that repents? No matter what they've done, no matter what we see, no matter where they go on a Saturday night, oh, they'll never come here. They were out till 2 a.m. down at the bar. We don't know the power of God. We underestimate the power of God. The power of God brought animals 2x2 in the ark. The power of God brought me here on a Sunday night. I remember long ago. I remember there was a time I was getting ready for church and I was running late. This is before I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I said, I got to get to the house of the Lord. Because God said he will draw all people to him if he is lifted up. And there was a time during the praise and worship portion of the service, Sister Davis, and people were praising and worshiping. And that's when I was so drawn to come to the house of the Lord. I was drawn to come to the house of the Lord. And then after being in the house of the Lord, I heard the preaching of the word of the Lord. And that caused me to respond to the word of the Lord. And that brought me to a place of repentance. It's powerful. Don't underestimate the power of praise and worship. Worship is how the battle is won. We need to worship. We need to praise. We don't need to underestimate the power of the God that we serve, that we worship, that we praise. He's a powerful God. Just as a great fish cannot hold Jonah, death cannot maintain its hold on Jesus. As the angel announced, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Jesus is alive forevermore and has the keys to hell and death. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God didn't reject Nineveh when they cried out for mercy. Neither did he reject Jonah when he cried out as well. One was the message giver and one was the messenger. They both needed mercy. We all need mercy, and if it wasn't for God's mercy, we'd be consumed in this place. The one giving the message needs God's mercy. The one receiving the message needs God's mercy. We need God's mercy in our life. Otherwise, we'd be destroyed. It is the miraculous of his mercy. We can't comprehend his mercy. We like to judge people because we think God should pour out his judgment on an individual that is still around that has done us wrong. But his mercy is keeping them here. As long as they still have breath in their lungs, there is still hope for that individual. Heaven is rejoicing over one sinner that repents. Heaven is waiting to rejoice. Heaven is anticipating repentance. There's a lot of preparation going on before the service. There is preparation in heaven going on when they anticipate somebody that hears the word of the Lord. That somebody is drawn to the house of the Lord. When the word of God is preached, and their hearts are pricked and never the same, and they come to the altar. Heaven is anticipating and ready to rejoice. Paul talked about the different responses people may have to the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 8 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God." Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." It was when the Pharisees and Sadducees attempted to coax a sign from him, he declared them to be a wicked and adulterous generation. They received only the sign of the prophet Jonah. These people were the ones who called for Jesus' crucifixion. Christianity is faith-based, not proven with signs. The signs follow the believers and not the other way around. Nineveh stood as witnesses from the past who condemned the Pharisees and the Sadducees because Nineveh received the word and repented. Jesus said they will rise up in judgment against those who did not respond to the preaching. I'm going to close with the scripture in John 1:11-12. "He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." We could stand. Lord, you said whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. May we see the ones from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, Lord, come back to you, and may we rejoice when heaven rejoices. May we see this altar full of repentant people again. And may our wills be in line with your will. Because heaven is waiting to rejoice. All of us must be willing to allow God to change our lives, our hearts, and our minds. We must be willing to allow God's Spirit to transform us. Sometimes our mindsets prevent us from ministering to certain people. Like Jonah, we may have bad feelings towards other people and other groups. We must be, repent of this. Arise and go and reach out to them. We must also be careful not to assume that certain people don't want to hear this message. Because salvation is for whosoever will. Because heaven is ready to rejoice.
Great is your mercy towards me. Your loving kindness towards me. Your tender mercies I see.
Just a few moments, our classes will be returning. Brother Craig was speaking this morning. I was thinking about the story of Jonah. Obviously, as many of us are aware, the thing that stands out to many of us is Jonah and the whale. But as I begin to think about the story, I realize the story is not really about Jonah. It's not really about the prophet. It was a prophet who, even when he went, reluctantly went. It's not really about the message or the preaching. It seemed like his sermon was something like this, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So it really wasn't about the prophet, wasn't about the preaching. What the story of Jonah is about is repentance. How that a whole nation, the nation of Nineveh, realized their need for God and began to repent. Oh, the power of repentance.
Yes.
The power of humbling yourself before God. The king laying aside his kingly robe and putting upon the sackcloth and telling all the people, if it may be, hopefully God will repent of the evil that he intended to do. And we will be spared. Oh, the power of repentance.
Yes.
All over this house, whether we do it here at the front or whether you do it there at your pew, why don't we just take a few moments? Why don't we recognize the power of repentance? Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Great is your mercy. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is the power of repentance. Lord, we love you. Let's find a place to pray in the next few moments before we go into the next format. Lord, I love you. God, I thank you. Hold the power of forgiveness. Coming before you in repentance.
Great is your grace. Always pray.
Choose.